Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. So much for tuning in to hour two of Live the Promise. So glad to have you along today. And if you just tuned in, you missed my conversation first hour with Dr. David Garrison about God's work in the Muslim world. You got to go back and catch the podcast because God is doing an amazing work among Muslims. They're coming to Christ in record numbers. One of my big takeaways from Dr. David Garrison is he said, pray for Muhammad because a third of Muslims have the name Muhammad. So when you meet Muhammad, you can say, I have been praying for you. And so really, Take a moment, if you would. Go back to our website, myfaithradio.com, after the show today, and catch that interview if you missed it. Well, we're going to switch gears now, second hour. I'm so excited to welcome this couple back on the show. They're just a blast. They're so much fun. But they also bring some very serious insight into, I would say, probably the number one area of conflict in marriage, and that's money. Scott and Bethany Palmer are known as the money couple. They've got a book called The Five Money Personalities. Did you know you have a money personality? You do. And you know, we have a tendency to think our personality is the superior one, is the right one. And so their whole idea is to help us understand our tendencies and our personalities so that we can come together and actually celebrate our differences and be stronger together. And so let me tell you about Scott and Bethany. And we'll get this conversation started. The money couple, Scott and Bethany Palmer, are devoted to helping couples everywhere to see eye to eye on day-to-day money decisions. They have four combined decades of experience as financial advisors. They enjoy an active Colorado lifestyle with their two sons, Cole and Cade. And you can find their author page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Scott and Bethany, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
And it is great to be here.
It's good to be with you. And you told me before the show that you've been on vacation, so that's great.
We have been. We had a nice long vacation. It was just so much fun hanging out with the kids. And Bethany and I got a little time, just the two of us, for about 10 days while the kids were at camp. So it was pretty phenomenal.
Wow. I bet you're just
and
like...
I do have to tell you that it is our 16th wedding anniversary today. Actually.
Wow. So congratulations.
To be here today. Thank you. Yes.
That's awesome. I'm getting a real muffled thing on Bethany. I don't know if there's a positioning of the phone. I just need to say that. Maybe we can check it at the break. But congratulations on the anniversary, and so glad to have you with us. Well, we love to start out every conversation talking scripture. And so just wondering if there's a verse that just God's been speaking about these days, or a life verse you could share. And I'll start with you, Scott.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting. Bethany and I were kind of talking about life verses, and mine is definitely 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And it just basically says, For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And I think that is just so important to me because I think it's so easy in our relationships. And, you know, money is such a scary word to so many people. And so the fact that we have the Spirit of God in us, we don't have to be scared. We have the power of the Lord, we have the love of the Lord, and we have the self-discipline that He can only give us to make our relationships awesome, to get our arms wrapped around money and make our families just strong.
That is so excellent. I did a study on that verse recently, Scott, and one of the things that sound mind means is sound decisions and a certain measure of self-control that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I just think that's amazing. I love that. How about you, Bethany?
Well, one of the verses that comes to mind that I think of often is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. One of the things that we do so often is we worry about money. And I love this verse because it's basically don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for your answers. So it's just wonderful encouragement to all of us to remember how important it is that worry does not have a place in when it comes to God. We just need to keep looking to Him for the continued path.
And He gives us the wisdom. Well, I think you probably shared this the last time you were on the program. For those who missed that interview, talk about how the whole Five Money Personalities was inspired for both of you. And go ahead, Bethany, we'll go with you first, if that's okay.
That sounds great. One of the things, Scott and I are financial advisors by trade, and what was happening was we were putting together these financial plans for couples, and but they were still, unfortunately, 50% of the time getting divorced. And oftentimes when we would ask them, why are you getting divorced, they would say, over money. And we're like, well, what do you mean? You've got a great financial plan in place. And they said, well, oh, it doesn't have anything to do with financial planning. It has to do with the day-to-day money stuff. Like, I am so sick and tired of my wife and how she spends all this money on things like coffee and you know, and I don't. And it just irritates me. Or a husband will say things like, I like to go out to lunch with my friends, and my wife just gives me grief about it every day. And it's just tearing, those little nitpicking conversations were just tearing relationships apart. And what we discovered was that, and this is what we set out to do, to say, hey, we have got to come up with a way that couples can understand their different perspectives of money. And where there is five money personalities, which is great, we wanted to make it really easy, but everybody has two of the five money personalities, and it's the dynamic of the relationship of those two money personalities that makes you unique and different. And, you know, one other thing I'll just add in there is, you know, we're all attracted to our opposite. All of us are. And it's no different with money, and money impacts us every day. So if we look at something that impacts us every day in a totally opposite way than our spouse, no wonder there's so much tension over money. 50% of divorce rate, 70% of them oftentimes over money. Well, no wonder, because we just come at money differently for many different reasons. So it was our really our prayer and quest to be able to find an easy way for people and couples to be able to work through their differences. And we have it. So we really believe we've cracked the code to some major marriage challenges.
Mm. Go ahead, Scott. Love to hear from you as well.
Yeah, I think the big rude awakening for me was Bethany and I had a very successful couple come in and sit down with us, and he was a large business owner, and on paper they looked perfect. On paper they looked exactly what a financial planner would want their clients to look like, and they sat down with us and they told us they were splitting up, and when I asked them why, they said money, and my jaw just hit the ground. And you know, I think God puts certain desires in our heart, and I think God gives us visions of how we can move ministry forward and help people and encourage people. And that's really how the money couple came to be, was that we were looking for a way to teach couples how to talk about money that was more than just sitting down and going through a budget. And that's really how the five money personalities were birthed. We really believe that God just gave us these five money personalities to help people understand why they deal with money the way they do, why they look at money the way they do, even help them understand why their kids react to money the way they do. And so it has just been such a blast. I mean, we have just had so much fun the last real concentrated 3 years of really sitting down with couples, working with couples, putting tons of resources together for couples so that we can actually take the number one cause for divorce, which is money, and turn it into a positive to make families stronger, to make marriages stronger, and really make the whole kingdom of God stronger. And so, you know, Bethany and I were sitting down and we said, you know, what would be our BHAG, our big, hairy, audacious goal? And we really want to turn the divorce rate around. And we talk about, you know, if we can teach people how to understand each other, love each other, and appreciate each other when it comes to money, 70% of the divorces don't have to be anymore about money. And maybe we can even just take this divorce rate, which is always growing, and drop it by 10%. So that's really our goal, is to educate couples so that they can stay together and have stronger families.
And this is really a light bulb moment, just as the five love languages were, because, you know, there was lots of marriage books out there. You should do this. You should do this. And these are ways to strengthen your marriage. But when people start to realize, oh, she speaks a different language than me, or what he needs to feel loved is totally different than what I need. It was a light bulb moment. And that's why that book, The Five Love Languages, was a runaway bestseller. Well, who would have ever, you know, realized that there are many personalities? And you and I talked about this, both of you, before, when you were on before, that if you don't realize there's differences, you can think their way is wrong and your way is right. And the only way that you can view success is if they start to be more like you. Have you seen that?
Absolutely, we have. We have seen that couples, it's interesting, the way you view money, we believe, is God-given. And so what happens is we take the way that we look at money and we put it on our spouse, and we think that they need to look at money the way that we do, and if they don't, then they're wrong. Let me give you an example. If you have a person, you have the five money personalities, but I'll just go over four quickly here. But if you have a person who is a saver, security seeker, married to somebody who is a risk taker, spender, just imagine the lens with which they see life, with the lens with which they approach decisions, is totally 100% different than each other. And every day they will bump into each other and not only have an argument and think the other person is wrong, they will start whittling away at the core of who they are. And after a while, you just aren't willing to do that anymore. So that's where a lot of those challenges come up. You're just not willing to put up with that.
Yeah.
So we really, our desire is to say, hey, these differences are good. I mean, Scott and my secondary money personality, totally opposite. Scott is a security seeker. Secondarily, I am a risk taker. So we look at things like vacations and holidays and the everyday kind of things you discuss, totally opposite, a different lens. It's not wrong to be a risk taker. It's not wrong to be a security seeker. But oftentimes in our Christian circles, the savers and security seekers are really promoted as being good people, and that if you spend money or you take risks or you care about relationships more than money, then there's something wrong with you. And we really need to educate and get people over that hump, because God gives you a way that you look at money, and it is not wrong, it's just different. And how exciting it can be when you really understand that at the core of who you are and how God made you.
Talking to the money couple today, Scott and Bethany Palmer. We've got four copies of their book, The Five Money Personalities, Speaking the Same Love and Money Language. If this is an issue in your marriage, you definitely want to get a copy of this book. The first four of you to get on the air with a question, you get a copy. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to unpack these five money personalities. I honestly think this may be a light bulb moment for you. So don't go away. More with Scott and Bethany Palmer in just a moment.
I'm a risk taker and a security seeker because I like to have a little money set aside for the opportunity of things, but always want to be ready to take that next trip or not have to turn down on the next opportunity.
I'm a combination of someone who enjoys looking at the big picture and listening to my gut. I'm really not afraid to make decisions, but I'm also a flyer, which means that I'm happy to let somebody else take care of things. Maybe I'm really a risk taker when it's not my money. Maybe from an organizational standpoint, I can listen to my gut or I can think big picture. But when it's my own personal money, then maybe I'm more, honey, please take care of this. Thank you very much. I love you.
Just got it. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to the money couple, Scott and Bethany Palmer, talking about their book, The Five Money Personalities. Did you know you've got a primary money personality and a secondary money personality? And if you don't know that, did you realize that the tendency is to think that maybe your way is superior? And as Bethany was saying before the break, you don't even realize it, but you start to pick away at your spouse because you wonder why they're not like you. But the news is that you can work together and actually be stronger in it all. If you've got a question about this whole concept of money personalities, now is the time to call us, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And Scott, you were saying something so interesting that, so it's not even, people aren't getting divorced over financial stress. Some have financial plans and have even finances, but it's the differences in the day-to-day. And so say a little bit more about that before we dig into these five personalities. Give us some examples of that people would actually break up over the day-to-day nitpicking.
Well, it was interesting. When we had that fairly successful couple, well, actually very financially very successful couple, they had been married for about 13 years and had three kids. So there was a lot, you know, hanging in the balance for them. And the fact that the relationship was ending over money just blew me away. And I'll never forget, because they came in and they kind of dropped the bomb on us that they were getting divorced over money. And at the time, we didn't really know or have the right questions to ask. And I wish we would have, because I think we could have helped them a lot more at that time. But what I called them about 3 days later, and I just asked them, I said, you know, give me an example. Like, you said you're getting divorced over money, but I'm just not getting it. Give me an example of why. And he said, well, you know what, Scott? We've been married for 13 years. And you know how much I love to go out to lunch. And he was a lunch guy. I mean, he would take three or four work associates. We would go out to lunch and talk and visit. And he said, you know, for 13 years, every day I get home and I walk through that front door, the first question is, well, did you go to lunch? And, well, who went with you? And then she'd ask, well, did you pay for it? And what he told me was that after 13 years of just that nitpicking over something as simple as lunch, which is something he really enjoyed doing for his friends, he just couldn't take it anymore. And there were about 13 other examples that just came right in line with that one. And so it's that nitpicking. It's that day-to-day running your spouse down over money that's just ending these relationships. And it can even be something, you know, as easy as shoes or coffee, but it can be a major decision, like even purchasing a house, where someone just is going to purchase the house and they're not, you know, talking about it with their spouse. We're just going to do this. This is my decision. And then resentment builds from that point forward. And then 10 years later, they're getting divorced because of that seed that was planted earlier because of that financial conflict. And so that's just one example of hundreds that we could give you about how just couples get annoyed. They don't know how to talk about it. They don't understand why their spouse can't change and look at money the way they looked at it. And we see those relationships end.
It's just amazing, because in that situation, he had the money to go out to lunch. So that wasn't the issue.
Well, that's exactly it. I think it is so easy for people to say, well, if we had more money, our relationship would be better. If we had just an easier time with money, our relationship would be better. If we didn't have to be on a strict budget that he's always breaking, our relationship would be better. And what we have found is it doesn't matter if you're making $30,000, you're making $300 or $3 million. Couples are going to have conflict over money. They might just be bigger the more money you make, but there's going to be conflict there. So it's imperative that we really learn how to speak. It's imperative that we really learn how to communicate, because it's not a dollar amount. It's a heart issue and what you're willing to understand or not understand about your spouse.
And that gets you to a point then where you can honor one another, because you can't honor one another if you think your way is right and their way is wrong. And so let's dig into these five. Okay, Bethany, the first one is saver. Tell us about the characteristics of a saver.
Sure. I'll go through all five of them. First of all, there is the saver, and remember, I just want to stress how important it is, before I go through these, it's the combination that's important to understand. A lot of people want to say, oh, there's five money personalities, I just have this one, and that's it. But it's that combination that's so important to understand. So as the audience is listening, understanding the two of the five is key. But the first one is saver, and that is just everything on your radar is saving. And you want to save. You want other people to save. You actually get a kick out of other people saving money. And so that's what it's all about. The second one is a spender.
You like to spend money on yourself, but you also love to give gifts. We all know those gift givers who just love to, really can't go to a party or can't go somewhere without giving the person a gift. Those are just wonderful, awesome people, and those are our spenders. You got savers, spenders, risk takers, the third one, people who say go for it, entrepreneurs of the world, why not? And then you have the security seeker. Security seeker is a person who wants a definite plan in place with their money. And you can see that with their vacations, and you can see that with things coming up. You just want a definite security seeker plan in place. And then our fifth one is a flyer. And a person who is a flyer is a person who flies by the seat of their pants when it comes to money, because they put relationships before money. I mean, you want to go out to lunch? Sure, no problem. I don't care if I don't have money. I do have money. It doesn't matter. It's the going out to lunch that I'm all excited about. So here's how the combination works. You could be a saver spender. And people, Scott has a great story. Let me have him share that with you really quick, of these ladies who came up to us and had that dynamic personally. It was awesome.
We were speaking at a conference, and that we took a little break so that they could take the quiz, the money personality quiz, which is online. And this lady came up to me afterwards and she says, well, I think the quiz is wrong. I said, okay. I said, well, explain to me why you think the quiz is wrong. And she says, well, it said that I am a primary spender. And I said, okay, well, let me ask you this question. What do you and her daughter was standing right next to her. I said, what do the two of you love to do on the weekend?
Okay, and secondary saver.
Yeah, and secondary saver. So she said, how can you be a spender saver? That doesn't make any sense. And so I said, well, what do you love to do on the weekends with your daughter? And at the same time, they almost shouted at me, shopping. We love to shop. And I said, okay, so does that one make sense? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever paid full price for a ticket item? And you would have thought I swore in church. They just lit up and they were like, well, of course we've never paid full price. We always start at the sales rack. And I said, do you see what you just said? Your primary is a spender. You love to go spend, but you would never pay full price for anything. And she looked at me and laughed and said, I've got it. And so it's just so important that we understand that we have these primary money personalities that are really going to really direct how we primarily see money. But we also have these secondary part of our money personalities, which are going to guide, direct, and actually it sometimes even be confusing because of the way that we act.
So good. So I want to unpack each of these in a little bit more in depth. We're going to take a break in just a moment, but a few of the characteristics that you assign to savers: gets a genuine rush from saving money, organized, responsible, yeah, trustworthy with finances, rarely spends impulsively, avoids credit card debt like head lice, joy stealer, overly focused on financial goals, and cheap. So those last three would be, just with any, as with any tendency, they're sort of the dark side of the coin. So those three would be the kind of downside, if you're not careful, would be joy stealer, overly focused on financial goals, and cheap. Say a little bit more about that.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, I think what's so funny about a saver is that savers are awesome. Like, we all have those friends that come up to us and say, oh my gosh, I went to the store and you wouldn't believe what I got the deal. Or they say to you, hey, we should go out because I found this new restaurant and I've got a coupon. That's the epitome of a saver. Hmm. They love to save, but they can also get a bad rep because they can come across as really cheap, and they can come across as, oh, do we have to go out with that person? They always want to bring a coupon. Or do we have to go with them because they're always going to want to make sure that we save money? And so where you have these amazing pros to a relationship, it's really easy to see the cons too. And especially in a marital situation where you might have someone that just wants to feel special. They just want their spouse to take them out and have a date night where money's not an issue. But that's going to be really, really hard for a saver. So you have to understand that about them.
Yeah, and I want to jump in there. So we're taking a break. When we come back, I want to look at then advice you'd give if there's a spouse who's on the downside of that gift. You know what I'm saying? If they're living with a saver and they're paying a huge price for it, what do they do? That's what we're going to talk about next. You got questions? Now is the time to call 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Back in a moment. So So let's back up and talk saver, because I'm thinking of two scenarios now for, you know, because there are upsides and downsides to each of these personalities, I imagine. So on the saver side, let's say you've got a husband who's a saver, and I've met women at different conferences who would say this, that he's, you know, is intent on paying our house off and before our kids hit their teens, but I can barely scrape enough money together for diapers. The paint is chipping off the house. I never can have money for flowers. So that's one scenario. On the flip side, yeah. The wife is managing finances. She's a saver. And he's like, she's so insecure about us having no money that she's saving. And I can't do, all I do is work and hand the check over. And I'm so done with it. So you sure see a downside if somebody's clamping down on their tendency towards saving. So what advice, Bethany, then do you give to somebody in that scenario?
Well, one of the things that we found is that the whole start to this is to know who you are and to understand who your spouse is, so you can have an adult face-to-face conversation about your differences. What we do is we fight against it. I just can't believe he keeps clamping down and clamping down and clamping down. And I, you know, we have plenty. I don't have enough for diapers. I mean, it's just, oh my goodness, I'm going to run. I mean, I'm going to flee. And so, but you can't have a conversation with someone unless you understand and have a point of reference that you're coming to, if coming to the conversation with. So for a person who is such a saver, to the person who isn't, you say, listen, when we were dating, before we got married, do you remember when I said that I wanted to go to the amusement park and you didn't? Because you didn't want to say, either you didn't want to go or you wanted to go only with the coupon that you found. Well, that difference is, we still have that difference. So how do we compromise? That's a word that we've lost inside of our relationships. How do we compromise in a way that can satisfy both of us? Oftentimes when we have those extreme opposites, we have a whole system to determine if you have what we call opposite dynamics inside of your relationship. And it starts just with taking the money personality quiz. But when you have extreme opposite dynamics inside of your relationship, it's absolutely crucial that you're intentional about talking about those differences. And savers out there, if you are too restrictive to a spender, risk taker spouse, that will make them want to run faster than all get out. So we really have to say, okay, how much money do we need to put in the budget for the saver, risk taker, flyer to be satisfied? Oftentimes it's $100, $200, some amount of money each month, so that the spender flyer can have that freedom, but then the saver can know that it's not all going to run away. That's one of the things about savers, is you can never save enough. You know, we met with a couple and we said, to her, she was a saver, primary saver, he was a primary risk taker. We said, well, how much saving is enough? And she's like, she literally could not answer that question, because savers, you're never saving enough. You always need to be saving. But if you have an understanding that we have a certain dollar amount each month that the saver, risk taker, or flyer is going to be able to spend, and then the saver doesn't give them grief about it. Oh, the freedom that we've seen inside of relationships just by that simple activity has been so freeing.
I would imagine.
You can't sit down with a saver and without talking to them about this kind of thing coming from a way of how you think about money.
You know, I'd imagine just coming to the table with your spouse, identifying these money personalities, and then determining to honor the difference in the other, to say, first and foremost, I'm going to honor the fact that we're different. We're not right, wrong. We're different. And how can we come to and find a unity? That would probably save a whole lot of marriages, I would think, you know?
Yes. You are not kidding. When I speak Scott's to his security seeker, it just opens his heart. And when I say things like, honey, let's get a plan in place. Let's make sure we have a plan for that expenditure down the road. That is not something that I would naturally say, but it just speaks to him. It speaks to his heart. We talk about, you know, and Scott many times will say, you know what, honey, let's just go for it. Well, that speaks to me, and we understand that we're giving to each other and compromising in a way that's really understanding the heart of who we are. You know, God talks about money more than anything else in the Bible, over 2,500 times. The reason he did is because he knew it was going to be play such an important role inside of our relationships. He talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And a lot of people think, well, if I have a lot of money, or if I talk about money, or if I deal with money, then that's the root of all evil. No, it's actually phileo, the kind of love, the relational kind of love he's talking about. If you put money over a relationship, that is the root of all evil. And this is key to understanding, because if money's evil, we're all in trouble because we do it and deal with it every day. So what is happening is if we put money over our relationship, that's where we get into a lot of problems.
Okay, wow. Okay, Scott, let's talk spenders. So the upside is they love to buy things for people. They get a thrill from the purchase. And the downside is it's not always practical, not always communicative with their expenses. They're filled with regret at times, and they're a budget breaker. So you've got a spender who's stressing out his spouse. What do you say?
Well, the spenders are tough because I'm a primary spender, so I can really speak into this money personality pretty well. And I think where my spender manifests itself the most is I love to give. I love it. I'm a panhandler's dream. I mean, I just love to give, but it's not always practical. And I think that's where spenders can get into a lot of trouble, is that we tend to spend before we think. And where it really kills couples is if you're trying to stick to a budget, because budgets are just really hard for a spender because they will have that lapse of judgment. And so when you're married to a spender, you need to be talking about it. You don't need to talk about it all the time, but you need to say, hey, you know, how are you doing? And how are you feeling with the spending? And how's it going, you know, with maybe not giving as much as you would usually like to give? Because I think when with a spender, what we've seen is that if you keep it out in front, if you keep it out there and you keep, you know, reminding each other that, hey, we are different. And I know that sometimes, you know, my spending can be a little random or my giving can be a little random, then it's important to keep it out there because it's going to consistently remind, especially if they're married to a saver, hey, this is who I am. The saver-spender relationship can be really tough. It can be great, but it can be really tough because if you're a spender and you're looking at the strengths of your saver spouse, you probably will actually be able to retire. You probably will actually stay on somewhat of a budget. Two spenders, Bethany and I are both primary spenders, we can get into trouble really easy when we're not making an effort to talk about what we're spending, to talk about how we're spending and where we want to spend. So although I really understand the spender money personality and I see the pros, the cons are that we just tend to spend without thinking. So it can drive one of the other money personalities, but especially the security seeker and the saver, it will drive them crazy.
Oh, interesting. I want to make sure we get through all these personalities. So, Bethany, I'm going to give you the risk taker. And this one on the upside, a big picture person, loves finding the next adventure, gets excited about the possibilities, listens to the gut. They're not afraid to make decisions, but they can be blinded by possibility, and they can be easily resented. They can be impatient and insensitive. Why is that? And just talk about the downside and what a risk taker has to be careful with.
Well, one of the life quote that they have is go for it. And so they can be insensitive and very impatient with other people because according to our research with the money personality quiz that we have out there, only 10% of society has a primary or secondary money personality risk taker. And that really makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, not many people are willing to just go for it and start businesses and things like that. So it's a very small amount. We get impatient with other people who aren't, come along with my plan. I want to do this. And oftentimes they will just react and go do it anyway. And then it just really upsets the spouse. And because oftentimes they're married to a security seeker or a saver. And so it's really challenging. So really sitting down and understanding what a risk taker money personality is all about is absolutely key to the person who's married to them, because they can squelch their enthusiasm and excitement so quickly.
All right, we've got a caller. We have time to maybe take one more call after Jeffrey here. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Jeffrey's calling in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Jeffrey, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Well, I was calling because mainly I was just listening to the broadcast, and I kind of just where I'm at is I'm very giving. I love to give. I have a big heart for it. Sometimes it can be a strain on me because I'll even give of myself and my own things that I'd really like to have, but I tend to feel like other people need it more. And my wife, she's very much the opposite. She loves to save. And, you know, maybe we should think about this. Maybe we should be in more of a financial place for this. And whenever I bring up the idea of saving and putting it in a budget, it never really happens. And we've been married for about 3 years. So, I mean, it's not a real long period of time, but it's been something that's been a concern for me. So,
Jeffrey, first of all, you get a copy of the Palmer's book, Five Money Personalities, and I think it'll help you a lot. We need to take a break in just a moment. But, Scott, did you want to say something to Jeffrey?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeffrey. I mean, I think it's awesome that you're calling in because you're three years into a marriage that's probably going to be 60 or 65 years, and I just speak that into you right now. But it is going to be important for you as because you're a spender. I guarantee it with the way that you give. It is going to be important to you that you actually stick to that budget because that is not only going to encourage your wife, but it's going to show your wife that level of respect. It doesn't mean that you have to stop giving. It doesn't mean that you have to stop spending, but you just want to make sure that you're making the effort to meet her halfway when it comes to the way that you're spending and the way that you're giving.
Jeffrey, great question, and I know you're going to enjoy this book. You can go through it with your wife, and I bet you guys will come to a really wonderful place of unity and strength together with your differences. Talking to Scott and Bethany Palmer, when we come back, we'll unpack still the security seeker and the flyer, but we're also going to talk about how to have a money conversation. They offer some great advice about how to come to the table, what to put first in that conversation so it won't end in conflict. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Saver and a security seeker because I want to save so that I can bless other people, and then I want that security. I want to know that there's that nest egg, that there's that little bit of something waiting.
I'm primarily a saver, I think, because I am a goal-oriented person and I can do goals that way. My secondary would be a security seeker. And that's kind of self-explanatory. I just like to have that security of knowing things are there when I need them. I'm not afraid to spend, but I still do like a little sense of security.
So glad you tuned in. Having a great conversation with Scott and Bethany Palmer. They're known as the Money Couple. They've got a great book, The Five Money Personalities. We've been walking our way through each of them because each of them have real obvious strengths. But then there's downsides, and these are ones we can just look at that kind of serve as a cautionary word as far as if you're this person, maybe watch for this. And so the next one, Bethany is security seeker. And so investigator, trustworthy, willing to sacrifice, prepared for anything. But can be overly negative, gets stuck in a research rut, stifles creativity. And so if somebody's married to a security seeker and they feel like there's just no zest, no winsome fun in their marriage, what can they do to really honor the security seeker in their spouse but also get their own needs met?
Well, one of the things for a security seeker is when they feel secure, that really, really helps. And so if you are married to a security seeker, it's easy. Make them feel secure, and then the fun will start. You will see and you will speak to their heart because you are putting and helping them put a plan in place. They'll be more than excited to go do some different kinds of things. Oftentimes, security seekers are married to risk takers and spenders. And so if you say, hey, honey, let's sit down, let's put a plan together, but then inside of that plan, let's put some fun things to do.
It will speak their language, and it will really, really help your relationship. So being married to security seekers is easy if you understand that they're a security seeker and you can help and work with it instead of fighting against it. That will help your relationship.
Good word. Okay, finally, flyer. Basically content with your life, big on relationships, happy to let someone else take care of your finances, not motivated by money. That's so interesting because that one listener said that word for word. Can be reactionary, lacking the skills needed to solve your money problems, disorganized and unresponsible, and that's not to be confused with irresponsible. So, Scott, speak to this one.
Well, absolutely. My mom is a flyer, and so I grew up with a flyer, and she is all about the relationship, and I could really see it in that if there was an opportunity for some type of family activity, she jumps on it. We can say, hey, Mom, why don't we go out to lunch? And I barely get the word lunch out, and she's like, yeah, where do you want us to meet you? Flyers are awesome because they live for that relationship. However, my dad is not a flyer. My dad is a primary security seeker, so he'll look at my mom like, really? Shouldn't we talk about that, or shouldn't we at least see what we're going to spend to go do that activity? And so that's where being married to a flyer can be really tough because they are all about the relationship. The relationship is always going to come first. And you're right, that gentleman that was describing himself, he just hit the nail right on the head. The great thing about a flyer is that they all are all about the relationship. They're never going to put money first. They're never going to make a decision based on the money over the relationship. But if you're married to one, you have to know that. So it's important that you're talking to them about that and encouraging them and saying, I love the fact that you put relationships in front of everything. But let's, at the same time, make sure we're talking and working together and remembering that relationships aren't always cheap and that those lunches and those outings and those vacations come with a price tag as well.
You sure can see where somebody's really swept off their feet by a flyer. You know what I mean? They're dating him going, he constantly puts me first. And it could turn into the very thing that's the bane of your existence. You know what I'm saying? Where I would imagine flyers make blasts for friends. But what were you going to say, Bethany?
Well, I was going to say, one of the things that's really good about being married to a flyer is understanding their secondary money personality, because that's how they operate with money. So if you are married to, for example, to a flyer security seeker, then just make sure that you speak. When you talk about money, speak to the security seeker side of them. I love the fact that you love to spend, to be in, have all these different relationships and all these things. Let's make sure we put a plan in place. For that will speak to them. Speaking their secondary money personality is key when it comes to talking to any money conversation. You should always make sure you speak to their secondary money personality.
Great advice.
And then that will build the relationship.
That's excellent. So one piece of advice that you give in the book that I think will be such a great help to so many who, when they talk finances, it ends up in conflict. So Scott, let's start with you. But you say to begin with the end in mind, and end is an acronym. The first one is evaluate. So say what you mean there.
Absolutely. Well, there's always going to be one primary person in the relationship that drives the finances. And part of what really where couples struggle is that person doesn't always feel heard. So we say once a month, do something called the money huddle. And it's an acronym END. And you're right. E stands for evaluate. For 15 minutes, that person has the floor. So they can sit down with their spouse and look at two things. Basically, where is our debt and where is our income? So it's a really great time, a really great safe time for them to say, okay, here's we are with our debt. Maybe you don't have debt, which is awesome. But then what you're going to want to say is we don't have any debt, but let's review the budget. And so by doing that, what you're doing is you're setting 15-minute time limit to let that person basically give the other person a report on where the finances are. So that's E, evaluate.
Okay. Bethany, needs, what you need in your money relationship. Go.
Yes. And this, we, because of our money personalities and the way that God has made us unique and special and different, we all have different needs. And those different needs come with a price tag snapped right along with it. And so this is our opportunity, again, just 15 minutes, to talk about our needs. And we, for some reason, we kind of lose that skill. And sometimes we don't ever have that skill, just talking about ourselves and where we're, what we need. Honey, I need to save a little bit more. You know what, honey, I need to get a couple new outfits for work. You know, whatever that means, I need to go out with friends a little bit more. Whatever those needs are, they have an undercurrent of basically how God made us. And so sitting patiently and listening to the other person and talking and just for a short period of time of what your needs are really brings you together. So you got E, evaluate, N, needs. And then the final one is D, dreams. You know, we have really lost the whole skill of being excited about our future, of where God is taking us together, because life gets in the way and we get really busy. So take 15 minutes and say, you know what, Annie, one of the things I would love to do is go on a missions trip. One of the things I would love to do is contribute more money to this particular nonprofit organization. Another thing, you know, whatever that is, what's God calling you to? And this is the fun, bringing fun back into your relationship of really being intentional about what we call your money relationship, not your financial relationship. Those are budget, retirement, taxes, all really important. No, we're just talking about your relationship and where money plays a role in it. And this is a money huddle. We talk extensively in our book about how to do this in a way that, again, can bring you together in a fun way.
And that is just so important. And just this END acronym, evaluate, needs, dream, it puts some boundaries around the money conversation. And it really creates this idea that we're in this together. Our needs matter, and we're going to dream together, which implies we've got a future together. And we're going to pray here in a moment, Scott. But I appreciate how you wrote that when you two were working on getting out of debt, you didn't dwell on the reason for the debt accumulation. You just looked ahead and you rebuilt your finances. And I thought that was such an important word. And as we get ready to just pray right now, Scott, I'm thinking of that couple, that person listening, who there's a grudge in that marriage over past accumulation. And you know how Scripture says a root of bitterness can spring up and defile many. And I would just ask if you would pray for that person listening who's maybe in a context of a marriage where a grudge is very, very deep, that they can forgive and do what you did, look ahead and rebuild the finances. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Lord, we just are so thankful for you and just for the way that you forgive us and the way that you have built us. And Lord, I just pray for that couple right now. I pray for that couple where they have these roots of bitterness and it's wrapped around money, Lord, and they just can't seem to let it go. And Lord, I just pray that they're able to let that go. I pray that they're able to forgive. I pray that they're able to move forward, Lord. And I pray that you restore the relationship to where you want it. You want our relationships to be solid. You want our families to reflect you, Lord. So I pray for every couple out there, Lord Jesus, that they just feel encouraged, they feel lifted up, Lord, and that you can just really use this conversation to help them in many ways. Your holy and precious name, Lord. Amen.
Scott and Bethany, thank you for joining us today. So appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was great to be with you.
God bless you.
It was great to be with you.
Thanks for tuning in today. Hope you found some encouragement here today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of today's show on our website, our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. And I'll leave you with this thought. You hear it every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And guess what? He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.